Reading this evening from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, text number 23. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesho. Brahmanas Trividha Smritaha. Brahmanas Tena Vidascha. Yajnascha Vidita Pura. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesho. Brahmanas Trividha Smritaha. Brahmanas Tena Vidascha. Yajnascha Vidita Pura. Translation, from the beginning of the creation, the three words, Om Tat Sat, were used to indicate the supreme, absolute truth. These three symbolic representations were used by Brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the supreme. So if I just read this purport without doing a little background, it won't be the same. So I'm going to, before reading the purport, I'm going to go back and put this in context a little bit. And we'll go back to chapter 16. If you have your book, you can look. Divine and Demoniac Natures is the title of the chapter. And towards the end, text 21, three gates to hell are identified. Then 22, one who has escaped these, O son of Kunti, performs acts conducive to self-realization and gradually attains the supreme destination. And then demoniac nature, he who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. And then the chapter concludes, one should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scripture. And that leads into the beginning of this chapter. So, one who understands what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scripture, knowing such rules and regulations, which should act so that he may be gradually elevated. Gradually elevated indicates they're of a lower state. They're not transcendentalists yet. They're doing things. With some understanding of what is duty, what is not duty, according to the regulations of the scripture. So it's like karmakanda type of indication. Lower modes, following the codes of the scripture, understanding, this is not a minor thing, it's a major thing, understanding these various regulations according to scripture, not necessarily understanding the transcendental purpose behind them, but knowing what is to be done, what is not to be done, following accordingly. Gradually one will become elevated. That's not the realm of devotional service yet. It's the gradually become elevated indirect method. And from text 22, it says these kinds of things are conducive to self-realization and gradually. So self-realization indicates specifically distinguishing matter from spirit, understanding we belong in the category of spirit, and then I'm doing duties that aren't exactly who I am, but they're desires and religious way to fulfill the desires, but gradually leading to detachment from the material conception, absorbed in spiritual conception, gradually. They're conducive to that. So that's the picture at the end of chapter 16. And then at the beginning of 17, he flips it. Arjuna says, well, what if they don't follow the codes of the Vedas? They don't follow scriptural direction, but they act according to their own faith. Or here in this translation, Prabhupada has put it, according to their own imagination. It's shradhayanvitaha is the Sanskrit word. Of course, shraddha means faith. Shradhaya anvitaha, possessed with faith. But possessed with faith where scriptural reference is not what determines their faith. Everyone has some faith because it's intrinsic to the soul. So there's guided by the scripture, that's the end of last chapter. Not guided by the scripture, what's their position? That's the question that begins the chapter. So the chapter is divisions of faith. So Krishna then describes, according to each of the three modes of nature, there's this type of faith. Then he further delineates different types of sacrifice, charity, and penance, according to divisions of faith. And that's where the chapter ends, prior verse to this one. So text 22, which is before today's verse. Charity performed in the mode of ignorance is described. So sacrifice, penance, and charity according to the modes of nature, driven by one's faith. So then comes this. It's introducing the transcendental destination factor. What can help elevate karmakanda performances prescribed according to the modes of nature one is in, gradually bringing that activity and the person to the transcendental destination or supreme destination that was described at the end of chapter 16. Now, it's introducing how that happens. So I'll read the translation again. From the beginning of creation, the three words Om Tat Sat were used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth. These three symbolic representations were used by brahmanas when chanting the Vedic hymns and during sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Supreme. So these karmakanda rituals require a qualified brahmana. It's one of the reasons why they're not recommended in this age, is because where do you find the qualified brahmana? Without elaborating. So, but when the age was conducive, those described at the end of chapter 16 who followed the scriptural regulations, they had a priest. They had a qualified brahmana. You with me? The question at the beginning of this chapter is, what about those that don't follow scriptural regulations? Now it's going into those that do follow scriptural regulations. The end of chapter 16. There's a priest. And the priest, since time immemorial, they chanted Om Tat Sat to indicate this ritual is being done for the satisfaction of the Supreme, ultimately, although one's needs here and there are going to be met as well. He's the bhokta of that yajna. Correct? Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suradam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. So, even if one is in the modes of nature and even if one is a karmakanda ritual follower, if one has a qualified priest, that priest would utter ultimately the supreme destination. In one sense, the bhokta of the yajna, but also for the person for whom the yajna is being performed, a awakening of the supreme destination of the soul is bestowed upon the performer. Yes? Okay. Now the purport is technical. So, let's see what it says. It has been explained that penance, sacrifice, charity, and foods divided into three categories are divided into three categories. The modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. But whether first class, second class, or third class, they are all conditioned, contaminated by the material modes of nature. When they are aimed at the Supreme, Om Tat Sat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Eternal, they become means for spiritual elevation. So it's spiritual elevation plus, gradual spiritual elevation plus material benefit for the Karmakanda ritual performer. In the scriptural injunctions, such as In the scriptural injunctions, such an objective is indicated. These three words, Om Tat Sat, particularly indicate the absolute truth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Vedic hymns, the word Om is always found. Paragraph. You with me so far? Because it gets more complicated. That's why I'm making a little pause here. And distracting kirtan doesn't make it easier to focus on the subject matter here. Okay, here's the next paragraph. One who acts without following the regulations of the scriptures will not attain the absolute truth. That's the question at the beginning of this chapter. So let's read the question at the beginning of the chapter. Oh, Krishna, Arjuna inquired, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture, but worship according to their own imagination, or according to their own faith? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? In the first part of the purport, Prabhupada writes, in the fourth chapter, 39th verse, it is said that a person faithful to a particular type of worship gradually becomes elevated to the stage of knowledge and attains the highest perfectional stage of peace and prosperity. Those that are following Vedic injunctions with faith, under proper guidance. In the 16th chapter, the one previous to this one, it is concluded, the end of the chapter, that one who does not follow the principles laid down in the scriptures is called an asura, demon. It's the Divine in Baniak chapter. And one who follows the scriptural injunctions faithfully is called a deva or a demigod. Now, if one with faith follows some rules which are not mentioned in the scriptural injunctions, what is his position? This doubt of Arjuna's is to be cleared by Krishna. Those who create some sort of god by selecting a human being and placing their faith in worshipping in goodness, passion, or ignorance. This goes on, isn't it? Some parts of the world, very trendy in India, at least at times, somebody is God. Now, what's their destination? That's the question. Is it ignorance, passion, goodness? And then Krishna delineates, according to the modes, it can be any one of them. And now he's indicating, back to the scriptural side, elevation to the transcendental destination. So, one who follows the scriptural injunctions will... One who acts without following the regulations of the scriptures will not attain the absolute truth. He will get some temporary result, but not the ultimate end of life. The conclusion is that performance of charity, sacrifice, and penance must be done in the mode of goodness, according to the description of this chapter. What is the performance in the mode of goodness? Performance in the mode of passion or ignorance, they are certainly inferior in quality. The three words, Om Tat Sat, are uttered in conjunction with the holy name of the Supreme Lord. For example, Om Tad Vishnu. Whenever a Vedic hymn or the holy name of the Supreme Lord is uttered, Om is added. Maybe you've noticed some of the priests, when they perform the yajnas, even when chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, they put Om in front of the Hare Krishna mantra. You've heard that. This is the indication of Vedic literature. These three words are taken from Vedic hymns. Okay, here comes some Vedic hymns. Om iti etad bhamano nideshtum nama Rigveda indicates the first goal. Doesn't say what the first goal is. But I have in my computer G here, Valade Vidyabhusan's commentary, where he's going to, I'll refer to this afterwards, because just reading it as it is, to me, I couldn't understand what was being said. I'll read it. The first goal from this Rig Veda hymn. Then, Tattvamasi. We all know that one. Chandogya Upanishad indicates the second goal. And Sat Eva Saumya indicates the third goal. Combined, they become Om Tat Sat. I'm just going to stop. And what was that? Well, here's a little bit what Baladeva Vidyabhusan says about these three. This is Bhandaswami's translation of Baladeva's commentary on this verse. The three words, Om Tat Sat, are remembered by the wise to be names of Vishnu, or what it says in the verse, Brahmana Nidesha. Brahmana Nidesha. Brahmana in this case meaning the Supreme, not Brahmana, but Brahmana, so the Supreme, names of the Supreme, remembrance of the names of the Supreme. So then he breaks it down. Om Tat Sat. Why is that remembrance of the names of the Supreme. So one is Om Iti Etat Brahmano Nideshtam Nama. Om is another name of Brahman. So we commonly hear Om is the sound representation of the Supreme Lord. It's a bija mantra or syllable that doesn't have a direct translation. It's one of the reasons why it's hard to define it, because there isn't a direct translation. It's a sound representation of the Supreme. It indicates the Supreme, and Supreme is has a name, but it's this is the impersonal O Lord, the O part, it's addressing so Om is the first name. That's what he writes. Then Tat is the second name seen in the Shruti statement, Tatvam Asi, you are that Brahman. Second name. So the Supreme of the nature of Brahman. And Sat is the third name mentioned in the Shruti statement, Eva Somya, that Brahman is eternal. O gentle one, that's the translation of the Sad Eva Somya. These are representative names only, since there are many more. That's what he writes. Now, what does that mean? It means the well, if a Brahmana is a Vaishnava, and generally the Brahmanas performing these rituals are not Vaishnavas, or Vaishnavas are not so much interested in these rituals, so the Brahmanas who are performing these rituals, they're uttering Om Tat Sat at the beginning to indicate this whole sacrifice, the yajna itself, the ingredients themselves, the fire itself, and everything is being offered to the Supreme. Om Tat Sat. So they're invoking, according to our Vaishnava Acharyas, Baladev Vidyabhusan and others, they're indicating that the transcendental goal, the supreme destination of activities performed here, they're meant for the Supreme. They're meant for attaining and making a sacrifice unto the Supreme. So, a little yoga is being introduced, karma yoga, offering some portion of the results unto the Supreme. It's taking karma kanda and elevating it. You with me? A little complicated. Formerly, when Brahma, the first created living entity, performed sacrifices, he indicated by these three words the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, he's a Vaishnava Brahmana. So he's not unclear. He's very clear. The Supreme is a person. We'll go back. There are some that aren't so clear. The Supreme is the Supreme. Not person. It's just an existence. Sat. Supreme existence. The Sat feature of the Absolute Truth. And so, Om Tat Sat. And that's how the yajna begins, and then they do the yajna. But Brahma is a Vaishnava, perfect Vaishnava Brahmana, so he, when uttering these words, he knew what it meant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the same principle has always been followed by disciplic succession. So, this hymn has great significance. Bhagavad Gita recommends, therefore, that any work done for Om Tat Sat, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, every work should be done for Him. That's connecting with chapter 3. This is Gyan Yoga. It's adding detailed items of knowledge to something that has already been presented. What has already been presented is the principle of yajna or sacrifice unto the Supreme. Karma Yoga. Now it's adding more detailed understanding information about those things. Now, Gyan Yogis are super into the analytical part, not so much necessarily the essence part. But because they like the analytical part, it helps them become captured or drawn to the essence. I remember this Columbia University professor and his two students that used to come regularly to the Hare Krishna temple in New York. For those of you that don't know what Columbia University is, there are what's called Ivy League schools, like super duper competitive, most prestigious universities in the whole university system. You probably have something comparable here. But not just, you know, institutes of technology. These are, you know, law and medicine and this and that and the other thing. Harvard. Everyone's heard of Harvard. That's in that same category. It's one of those. And that university is right in New York City. In fact, it's the university that Gopi Pranadana graduated from in Sanskrit. You know who Gopi Pranadana is. Some of you know. He's the translator of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and the inside story is it was he who did all the Sanskrit translation that Vidyananda Maharaj took credit for, but Gopi did all the work. Anyways, he graduated from Columbia University. So there was this professor and two students that used to come regularly to the temple, and he was very nice, and the students were very, you know, respectful, or nice, I mean respectful. But as I got to know them, I came to know that actually he was an advocate of, he was a staunch Mayavadi. But, a cuddly Mayavadi, not a prickly one. He was friendly. So he saw, and I'd hear him explain to his students, A, what we're doing is traditional Vedic stuff. He would detail it. Here's traditional Vedic stuff. See that, see that, see that. All of this stuff is Vedic. Hare Krishna movement gets a, you know, a good rating by this Mayavadi. Because it's traditional Vedic stuff. But then he would give the commentary, this means that. So it was to him indicating Om Tat Sat, impersonal. And for Brahma, Om Tat Sat, and for Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, Om Tat Sat is personal. Because the whole purpose of the Vedic process is to understand Krishna. Vedayush Desire Varyar Aham Eva Vedyo, Krishna says. It's to understand Him. So Om Tat Sat indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That kind of Om Tat Sat. Go back up. Those that do not perform their activities according to Vedic rituals, but make something up according to their own faith, they do something. You know, the list is quite long of people that make something up and have faith in that something. I don't need to give names, I'm sure you know your own local varieties. But those that do follow Vedic injunction, they do, if they're doing it according to Vedic injunction, honor the Supreme at the very, very beginning of whatever it is that they do. The charities, the austerities, the penances, the rituals, acknowledging the Supreme, the absolute truth is first. This is being done for attaining the absolute. So, therefore, invoking of the name comes at the very beginning, the name of the Bhokta. Two things. One is anecdotal, the other is scriptural. I was visiting a family, a little remote, then, you know, there was no temple. There was a gathering, and the organizer was good at gathering people. He was, anyway, still is doing that. Very affable, very friendly. So people came from distant places. They even came from hours away to attend the gatherings at his home. And some hour or so away, there's another place where there was a Hare Krishna temple, but a Hindu temple. So he wanted to know if I would go to that other place, the Hindu temple, and conduct a program. And then, you know, that the Hindu organizers would organize, and they could invite their own database people to come and attend something that a sannyasi from ISKCON was conducting. So they agreed. So I went for that function. And much to my surprise, at the beginning of the function was a Madhva Vaishnav performing a Karmakanda Yajna. Now, those of you who have been to Udupi, you know Madhvas don't do that. They're very clear about Vishnu. But this was the other kind, Karmakanda Yajna. And when I heard the mantras that he was chanting and understood what he was doing, just from hearing the mantras he was chanting, I was shocked. But one of the things that because I've never attended a Karmakanda Yajna before, that I noted that at the very beginning, I was very happy actually at the beginning, because I didn't know what was going to be happening following that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Right at the very beginning. Like, Om Tat Sat. Only it was Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's very direct. Can't be, you know, interpreted otherwise. And then the Devata and Ganesh and the family's name and the purpose that they were propitiating the Deva and on and on and on. I just walked out. I was too disturbed. And I went and asked the priest later. So it was, when it was all over, they called me back in and I spoke whatever I was supposed to speak. I don't remember what I spoke. But I asked the priest, may I ask you a personal question? Yeah, sure. How can you do this? You train differently. And his answer was, well, this is just maintaining my family. I have to have some means to maintain your family back in Udupi. What are you doing over here? Doing Karmakanda rituals. I mean, I was a little softer than that, but not too much. And, you know, he just sold out. After the training that he was received, people that aren't trained, I can understand how they might do that, but somebody that's trained and do that, I was bewildered. But he knew all the rituals, he knew all the mantras, and you know, where his faith was and where the participants in that event were, who can say? I told him, do you know that the main donor for this temple, I see some new construction going on over there, out the window, there was some, do you know that he's a cattle rancher? So that's where the money for this place is coming from slaughtering cows. And you're the chief priest. How can you do this? What the destination of your soul is, who can say? I mean, so one who has knowledge has greater responsibility and greater facility and greater responsibility. So we should be very careful when we utter Om Tat Sat or Krishna's name, that what follows that, because it we're going to hear in the upcoming verses, it's acknowledging the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then you make the offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is that offering? Supposing you're in the modes of nature, because that's what this chapter is about. Supposing you're in the modes of nature. Well, we're in the modes of nature. So we need to know what our mode of nature is. We need to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we need to be properly guided by scriptural regulations and the application of them to direct our lives toward the supreme destination. So we're going to read further what I was thinking to do, looking at this chapter. If it's all right, I would like to finish the chapter reading the rest of the verses, because they delineate. Om means this, Tat means that, Sat means that, and then those that direct their activities towards Om Tat Sat, this is their destination, or this is the benefit that they receive. I'd like to discuss that again tomorrow. So we'll revisit this topic, because that's what the rest of the verses do. But so one other scriptural thing. One of the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, Bhagavat Sandarbha, I think it is a large section where he has the premise and then details it and confirms it. The premise, whenever the term Brahman is used in Vedic literature, and for that matter, this Om address to the Supreme is used, whenever it may look like the impersonal feature is it. That's like the absolute truth is the impersonal feature, because Brahman is there or Om is there, etc. Jiva Goswami's premise, and argues it vigorously, that one who sees that or hears that or reads that should understand it indicates the personality of Godhead. It's simply indirect. And so many examples, practical examples and scriptural examples. One of Prabhupada's practical examples that he would use is sunshine. We may indicate the sun's presence by the sunshine. The sun is in the room because the shine of the sun is in the room. But we know that the sun is not in the room, otherwise the room would be, we would all be burst in flames. But the sun is in the room through the presence of the sunshine. Similarly, and so many other explanations are there, that the term Brahman indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Om indicates Krishna, Brahman indicates Krishna. Because the Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, for example, in chapter 14, the Krishna is the basis or Pratishta of Brahman, just as the sun is the Pratishta of shine. Krishna is the Pratishta of Brahman. So when we hear Brahman, a learned person must automatically think Krishna. So this Om Tat Sat means Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't do that. When we apply our tilak, Om Keshavaya Namaha, etc. Om Narayanaya Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, saying Om first. But then a particular name is spoken, and then Namaha. And it's Aya, unto Om Keshava Aya Namaha. I offer my obeisances unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead of the name Keshava, Narayana, Madhava, Govinda, etc. So when we hear the Om, it may not be that the name Keshava or Narayana or Madhava or Govinda is mentioned. We, trained in, you know, as Vaishnavas as we are, although we're not like super scholars, we're basically trained, it indicates the Supreme Person, although it may not be stated. So in this case, Om, then comes Tat and Sat. So Tat, from the, just going back to this Tat Tvam Asi, I am that. Tat Tvam Asi, I am that. So it indicates the soul is also Brahman. Doesn't mean the Mayavadis take it, Tat Tvam Asi means there it is. I'm God. Tat Tvam Asi. And you too, Prabhu. Tat Tvam Asi to you too. Because you're we're all God. And that's not acknowledging the Supreme Person. But the devotee understands that's not what it means. It means we are qualitatively Brahman, as is the Supreme qualitatively Brahman. And Sat, substantial, eternal, eternally ever-existing. Again, the Baladev's statement here. That Brahman is eternal, O Gentle One, from the Chandogya Upanishad. And these are representative names only, since there are many more. And there's unlimited names of the Supreme. Although these are not commonly used by Vaishnava names, they're names nonetheless, as Jiva Goswami argues. Even the term Brahman indicates Bhagavan. That's how we should read this section. Krishna is indicating to, so just summary. Krishna is indicating to Arjuna, you ask this question about what about people that don't follow regulations? Well, it's within the modes of nature. We're going to hear some more verses explicitly saying this in this chapter. There's no transcendental benefit. Other than the fact that they're acknowledging the Vedic teaching, and therefore indirectly they're acknowledging the source of the Vedic teaching, the Personality of Godhead, it's quite indirect, but there's material and to some degree some spiritual benefit. But attaining the supreme spiritual elevation explicitly is strengthened by the invocation Om Tat Sat before doing anything. And there's one other reference I think is worth making. From another Mayavadi, another Bengali doctor Mayavadi, who wrote his own commentary on Bhagavad Gita, although he didn't know his shoes from his shoelaces. He's, you know, a learned person that really didn't have a clue. I mean, he was scholarly but didn't have a clue. That's my assessment of but you know, socially polite and like that. He told me that in Shingeri Math, we have our prayer, because he was commenting, before we take prasad, we say this prayer. And in Shingeri Math, they say another prayer, and that other prayer is from chapter 4, Bhagavad Gita. Any Mayavadis, or former Mayavadis, excuse me, in the audience here and know which one that is? Huh? You've heard me say it. Yeah. So it's 424 Bhagavad Gita. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagnau Brahmanahutam Brahmayavatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. A person is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. So the edibles become spiritualized and the place where they're eating becomes spiritualized and they become spiritualized. Everything becomes situated in Brahman by invoking this verse. Because this verse is a verse that indicates the principle of sacrifice, and then there's a whole bunch that say some do that sacrifice this way, that way, the other way, according to faith. Now, 17 is a faith according to the modes of nature. This is describing faith according to disposition of work, so guna and karma, or the type of yoga, the type of recognition of the Supreme that one is inclined to, that type of faith. But faith according to scriptural regulation, not according to the scriptural regulation, that's the earlier part of chapter 17. According to the scriptural regulation, uttering Om Tat Sat, or like this verse of chapter 4, acknowledging the very outset, acknowledging the Supreme, and the different conceptions of the Supreme, so one has to get that correct. Acknowledging the Supreme and indicating sacrifice for the Supreme takes one's activities and begins to gradually elevate them to the spiritual platform so that one can gradually attain the spiritual destination. And we're going to hear some more tomorrow on the remaining verses. You might want to take your brain that may be right a little puzzled right now and take it to the puzzling instructions that Krishna gives for the rest of the chapter. It's puzzling because we're not accustomed to doing things in this way. We just chant Hare Krishna. This is describing people that don't. What's their means of elevation? Any comments or questions? Okay. It was that puzzling, huh? Okay. So read a root class. We'll complete the chapter tomorrow evening and read ahead and see if you can gather the gist of those other verses, and we'll speak on them tomorrow. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki.